It'll be 7 or 8 candidates in the debate tonight. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. One of the Republicans planning to attend the first presidential primary debate had to go to the hospital. Fox's Jeff Manasso in Milwaukee.
The Doug Burgum campaign confirms to Fox News that the North Dakota governor injured his leg playing basketball. The injury makes it unclear if Burgum will be able to stand at the debate, putting his appearance in question. Burgum, one of 8 candidates vying at this point for second place, well behind the polling of former President Donald Trump, who's skipping the debate.
And Trump says on social media he will be proudly arrested tomorrow in Georgia and that nobody has ever fought for election integrity like President Donald J. Trump. Some of his 18 co-defendants in the Georgia election conspiracy case have been turning themselves in ahead of Friday's deadline. Rudy Giuliani is surrendering in Atlanta today. India wins the space race to the far side of the moon.
Scientists at India's Mission Control cheer the safe landing of Chandrayaan 3 on the moon's south pole, where water ice is believed to be abundant.
Sir, we have achieved soft landing on the moon. India is on the moon.
India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi watched remotely while visiting South Africa.
India's successful moon mission is not just India's alone.
This is the first human device to reach the moon's south pole. India's previous attempted landing in 2019 ended with the lander crashing. Russia's first moon lander in 50 years also crashed last week. Eben Brown, Fox News.
South Carolina Supreme Court now upholds a state ban on abortion after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, after earlier in January striking it down. This violating the state's constitutional right to privacy. Justice John Kittredge writing for the 4-1 majority, a woman's right to privacy and bodily autonomy does not outweigh the interest of the unborn child to live. Since that January ruling, the court's only woman reached its mandatory retirement age and was replaced. America's listening to Fox News.
Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. Like, ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. When a restaurant closes, my reaction is, that sucks. They had good steak. When regional banks close, or 3 of them close overnight, it freaks me out. This is why I have my own personal gold reserve. It's part of my personal protection plan. Call my friends at Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. President Biden is set to meet with survivors on the deadly Maui wildfires. The White House says the president plans to tell them he'll provide federal resources for as long as it takes. Officials say 850 people are still missing as the search and rescue efforts continue, and 114 people have been confirmed dead. A little over 359 emergency calls have been answered by Yuma Fire in the last week. Yuma Fire reminds the community that there's different levels to consciousness that can sometimes indicate that a person is having a stroke. New numbers are showing an apparent road rage problem from drivers in Arizona. Data from the nonprofit Evertown shows the state had the second most road rage shootings, killings, and injuries in the entire country, falling short of only New Mexico. Main Library in Yuma has been informing the community about the new storytime programs offered in September. Children of all ages and teens are invited. There's no charge to attend. If you have ideas for a local news story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@yumadailynews.com. Go ahead, send us your story, and I'll take a look. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Chamber, and of course we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Lexi in here this morning again. I love when Lexi joins us.
She's yelling at you this morning. That's good.
She didn't hardly yell at us this morning.
Barky.
She's, Only a little bit. Yeah. Only a little bit. Well, maybe that's because of our guest today. So so we have Yosi Hank with Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. We're glad to have you. I kind of commented it's our annual meeting because it must mean that dove hunting season is coming up.
That's right.
Again? Oh, it happens every year, I guess.
Like clockwork.
It does happen every year, I guess. We were in a meeting with the city yesterday, and dove hunt came up, and it was funny because somebody said, "Oh my gosh, is it almost September 1st already?" We're like, "Yes, it is. It seems like it was so long ago when we first started, you know, I started getting the notice for the meetings for preparation, and now all of a sudden, oh, it's here."
That's right. I feel like we spend half the year preparing for it, at least.
I think we do. And I'm sure you do.
And it's like, we know it's coming, but then we're 2 weeks out, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's literally around the corner.
It is literally around the corner. So what do you anticipate anything new this year as far as...
Yeah, like no limits on birds, right?
Oh, no, unfortunately.
I'm sure that's not happening.
We're actually really excited this year. We're expecting a really big crowd because the opener, September 1st, is on a Friday this year, which means that a lot of the out-of-towners are going to show up on Friday. Normally, we see a lot of like the California crowds showing up in two phases. They'll be the first big chunk that shows up for a couple days, and then they'll head home, and then another big chunk will come in. But because of that Friday opener, we're thinking it's just going to be really busy.
So, Yosi, how does that change for you then?
Well, I'm always busy. but that's where the preparation comes in, just making sure we have all our ducks in a row, so to speak.
Yeah,
or doves in a row.
Or doves, yeah, exactly. So does it change? I mean, because, you know, I'm used to, people have to scout out their locations where they're going to hunt, make sure that they've got permission for the property owners, all of those things. Does it change the dynamic a little bit since there's not as likely to be two phases? Does it get more crowded? Does that make it more difficult to, I mean, you're talking to a non-hunter. So does it make it more crowded and more difficult to find the birds, to get the birds?
Potentially. I mean, that's why we always encourage, especially people who aren't from Yuma that are coming from out of town, if you can show up even a couple days, a day earlier before the opener, so you can do some of that scouting and feel out what areas you'll want to hunt. Because just by the nature of the hunt, you most likely will be around other hunters. Right? Because there's some areas that are a lot more desirable than others. But that doesn't mean those are the only good areas around Yuma. There's definitely other spots, you know, further down south towards Somerton, San Luis, and by the border wall, where you can definitely become a little more secluded if that's what you want. Yeah, we're definitely expecting a lot of people, but that's where that scouting aspect comes in. And, you know, everyone has a preference. Some people don't mind being around other hunters. Some don't like it. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of finding what you like.
And you know, we were kind of talking a little bit before we went on air. Something I hadn't considered is these recent storms may have shifted some things out there and made it so that the birds, just like we, you know, took different shelter, the birds may have taken different shelter.
Yeah, so with the Hurricane Hillary or remnants that we experienced here in Yuma, it did bring some rain in, and everybody's been kind of wondering, like, does that shift all the birds out? What's going on? So we're actually still, before the storm, bird outlook was great.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. They're all over the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of white-winged dove. We're not quite sure what impacts the storm has had yet. We're still kind of waiting to see. As our supervisor here in Yuma mentioned, Mike Sumner, it might have taken some birds out, but it might have shifted some in as well. And we kind of liked the way he put it. So we're still kind of out seeing what the outlook will be like. We're actually expecting a really good opener regardless, because normally we want some consistent rainfall, and that might be what starts pushing white wings out usually every year. But we haven't had a really good consistent rainfall up till, you know, that was one storm.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes scouting that much more important to to see where those big flights are coming in.
What are the limits this year?
Yeah, so the limits are the same as last year. It's 15 doves a day, of which no more than 10 can be white wing. So the hunt is open for mourning dove and white wing dove. Eurasian collared dove are a game as well. That's unlimited because they're an invasive species.
And is that a big problem for you guys every year? I mean, do you find a lot of people ignore?
In my experience, usually when we get a lot of those violations are closer to the opener.
Okay.
Because doves are plentiful. Mm-hmm. And a couple days in, those doves become smart. The survivors know exactly what areas to avoid. So it becomes harder and harder to get a bag limit the longer into the season you go.
Well, I haven't done it much. I've gone with people on opening day, but the hunt doesn't last a half hour a lot of times, the opening day.
You know, you'd be surprised. It really depends who you hang out with, because some people are really good.
I mostly hang out with all the wrong people.
Or you're hanging out with the right ones because
there's
they're
a lot
able
of birds.
To bag them very quickly.
There's plentiful.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it depends on skill and then also where you decide to set up, because some people, you know, they're limited out in half an hour, and some people I talk to them.
That's what I'm saying. It's usually half an hour.
Yeah.
But I usually go with people that have property, know where they're going or something, and they know where the birds are.
And because they've done their, you know,
homework.
They've done their homework. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, which is still a blast because we have a great time. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunities.
And I guess that's kind of the sport of it is you might have a really good spot, opening day, maybe that evening, but maybe by day two, that's not a great spot anymore. So you kind of, have a backup plan of spots that you find interesting and shift and move because that's what the birds are doing. They're moving too.
Well, that's just opening day. I mean, hunters are out there more than that.
Yes. Yeah, but every day, it's like people will ask me all the time, where are all the birds? Where'd they go? And I'm like, it's not that I don't want to tell you. I just don't want to mislead you, because they could be great one morning and that evening, it's not the same.
I never thought of that. You'd be a great scout.
Well, you would think, but oftentimes, I might see. It might be really good. Again, one evening or one morning, and the next day it's just totally different.
When you're out and just inspecting, looking, and possibly people that are doing the wrong thing, what are you looking for? What clues you in?
Right. So when I come up to somebody, I'm automatically asking to see their hunting license and their migratory bird stamp, which is required for hunters 18 years of age and older. Children between the ages of 10 and 17 only need a hunting license, which is $5, whether you're a resident or not. And so once we get that out of the way, I'm usually looking for birds, see how many birds they've shot so far. We're looking to make sure that they're picking up their holes, because we don't want people littering and disrespecting whoever's land they're
for
on.
For everybody, yeah.
Right. And then I'm usually checking for plugs in the shotguns, because your shotgun can't hold more than 3.
But you can usually tell the professionals from a distance. I mean, the guys that know what they're doing versus the guys that probably need some assistance.
You'd be surprised.
I'm the guy that needs assistance, by the way.
Sometimes even the ones that are squared away, sometimes, you'll see a little bit of an over limit or so, or a bird or two. So,
do they have great stories?
What do you mean by great stories?
Alibis, excuses.
Sometimes. I always appreciate the ones that are straight up and just, it's like, you know what? Yep. Because that goes a long way, let me tell you.
They ever tell you, like, did birds just fell in my bag? I don't know where they came from. Those aren't mine.
Yeah.
It's my friend's birds. Yeah. Well, I'm holding all of our birds. And it's like, come on, guys. Let's spread them out.
You need to take a break, because Richard Sprague's outside.
Okay. Well, with that, let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The heat continues to build for us as we head into and through the upcoming weekend, as hot as 112 expected this weekend. Sunshine today, 105 this afternoon. Mainly clear skies and warm overnight tonight. Temperatures drop down into the middle 80s. Sunny skies and hotter for the end of the week. 106 Thursday afternoon, closing in on 110 Friday. And over the weekend, sunny, a bit breezy late in the day. Highs up around 112 both afternoons. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone at the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and Russ Clark is here with me.
Fast break.
Fast you know, break. It was a fast break.
Caught you petting the dog, yeah.
I know.
Threw it right on.
I know. Well, I'm an animal lover, so that is, and I bet Yosie is too. We've got Yosie Hank with Arizona Game and Fish.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. We're talking about the dove hunt.
Yes, we are.
How many have you done now?
Gosh, that's a good question. I want to say this is either six or seven.
Okay. So now you're an old pro.
Every year I learn something new.
Do you ever hunt yourself?
Not during the opener.
Okay.
But I try my very best to get out when I find a day. It's a busy time of year for us.
Anybody come check your plug?
No, actually. Now that you've said that, I guess I could check my own.
It's kind of funny.
I'd check it.
Yeah, it would really look bad if somebody came and checked yours and it wasn't right.
I mean, I'd be excited. I guess I'd be like, yeah, I'm finally getting checked.
She knows how to cheat. Do that many people not do the plug? I mean, it's such a simple...
You'd be surprised.
Oh, really?
That's probably one of my more common... I think it's because people don't expect you to. It takes a little more time to do.
It's like a second.
Yeah. So everyone has their own method. I like my method. Usually people will hand you three of their shells because you got a lot of different caliber guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shotguns. So you can stick two up and see if the third one fits.
Right.
And that's one method. But then, you know, depending if you want to be courteous, you can either unload it for them or give it back to them the way it is. I have a fancy little hose that I've manufactured.
Yeah, like a
12
gauge hose.
Yeah,
it's like
it's literally like a garden hose that I cut up and I marked.
I like that.
And I stuff it in that magazine shotgun. If it goes beyond a certain point, you know it fits too many. But I always double check. If I notice that first method, you know, it's going a little too far, I'll always double check with actual shotgun shells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But do people just leave it out or just?
I guess the most common excuse I've heard, usually they either just bought the gun and never put a plug in, or they were using it for something else like duck hunting or something and they never put the plug in after.
But yet they still put five shells in?
I mean, you know, some of those shotguns have extended magazines.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And they can fit seven, eight.
You ever seen anybody loaded with seven?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I say that's a bad shot. I'm a bad shot.
And then it's another indicator, too, when you're out. We're always listening, looking, observing. If you hear more than three shots go off, that's another.
I suppose.
That would be. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard when there's a ton of people shooting at once. Mm-hmm. But if you can only hear like one or two individuals and you hear pop, 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 pop.
That might be a clear indicator.
I know Richard, and I've talked to him about this before. He actually, because he's like a professional. Grew up in it since he was a kid, even doing that stuff. But a 410 single shot, you know. So his no multiple shots for him.
Oh right. Oh,
just
that's
a single
right.
shot.
That's
just a
right.
410
there are,
single.
Those are always easy to check. I always appreciate those, or the ones that just hold two. They just pop those bad boys open, and it's like you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean the 410. I mean, my goodness, you know. I mean. Because he's a professional shooter, you know.
Yeah, so you want to make
He's really on the hunt.
Can you imagine a new shooter using one of those? That'd be a frustrating morning.
Well, you'd be hungry.
That would be me. I'd be like, I can't use that. I won't get any birds.
Yeah. But I always enjoy going out with groups. Hunters are great people.
Yes.
Generally. I mean, for most, I imagine there's always an exception, but... to get the outdoors taken care of, to get that stuff. I mean, generally, the hunters are the ones that are the most observant. I mean, and I know they're the ones that arrange cleanups, and they're the ones that, that will help wildlife.
They're good stewards of the land.
Yeah.
Like you said, most of them really do care. They've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. They grew up hunting. It's something they want to pass on to their kids. They care about the wildlife. They care about the natural resources. And, yeah, oftentimes people who don't come from hunting backgrounds don't see that.
Right.
It's a very, you know, they just see one side, like,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much more. It's so much deeper than that. And it's really a family tradition for a lot of people here in Yuma, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Are there laws against handling a firearm while intoxicated?
Yes. We don't recommend, it's obviously not. You know,
I don't know anybody that's doing that.
It's just dangerous.
Of course. You know, of course. I just didn't know if it was illegal. It's dangerous to drive a car, and we know what the laws are on that.
So, but speaking of which, then, do you run into the same thing of intoxicated of any form? Because, okay, intoxicated, my brain automatically goes to alcohol, but intoxicated as far as using marijuana,
that's
legal. Yeah.
That's a whole nother. We've noticed, you know, not that I do a ton of DUIs, but in my training for DUIs,
mm-hmm.
A lot of that has shifted from alcohol impairment to drug
mm-hmm.
impairment. That's like, you know, the majority of DUIs that, you know, the local PDs are doing. And so that's another thing to keep into consideration. The cues that we get from someone under the influence of alcohol are different from the cues of somebody
yeah.
impaired by drugs.
And that's right. You're an officer of the law, so... And I think everyone recognizes it out there. I hope they do.
Some people do. Sometimes it's good to remind them.
Because the badge and the gun aren't a clear indicator.
Well, you know, it's because in some states, the game warden or wildlife managers don't have any law enforcement authority.
Oh, they're clerical?
So, it's more like, I guess they just contact people, but they don't have that.
Don't make me mad. I'm going to call somebody.
So that's why we just, you know, when people ask, and I always say it nicely because some people just don't know. It's like, hey, we're fully authorized peace officers in the state of Arizona. We have jurisdiction all over the state except for obviously tribal lands.
Right. So don't make Yossi mad. She can arrest you.
Well, that's right. You're state. You're not federal.
Yes, I'm a state peace officer.
That's right. And federal can go on tribal lands.
I'm not sure how the feds
I don't
work.
Know how that works.
The marshals and all, they do, but I don't know the relationship. I don't know how that works. But, everyone else, I could just say, get out of here.
So, you know, and even the feds are a little restricted. For example, like a federal BLM officer, those guys mostly patrol on BLM property, and that's not, you know, all over the state. So it just depends. Jurisdictions change.
So Yossi, what are you going to be looking for out there, you know, as far as people being in compliant? What are some common, I mean, we've kind of talked about going over the
limit. I have a comment from Sheriff Wilmon, if you want to hear that.
Well, sure.
He just gave some advice. If you shoot with a group, know where the others are, you know, the party members
yes, please.
Are, to avoid accidents. Which tells me something. He's talking from experience.
Yeah.
Well, and that's actually...
Bad things can happen.
That's one of the things I was... My first response to your question was going to be is make sure you're being safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting time, opening morning, especially when you're in a group and people sometimes, you know, you see birds and it's like you zone in, you get that tunnel vision and you kind of forget about your surroundings.
Yeah.
So making sure that people are being safe, mm-hmm. especially, you know, there's going to be people around you. There's going to be kids out there. Make sure you're handling your firearm properly, pointing that muzzle in a safe direction.
Yeah.
Keep all that stuff in mind.
Yeah, generally that safe direction is up.
Or down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm talking about before you pull a trigger, it's up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't generally shoot a bird in the dirt.
You know, you'd be surprised. Some people do.
What?
They see really? Them. Well, yeah, some people will see them on the ground. They'll have their little decoy set up. And the doves will come down. Some people will do that. I've seen it. So when I contact people, either up or down is a safe direction. And again, sometimes people get excited and they like start flagging you. And it's like, just mind your muzzle.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a big thing. We, you know, in spite of not being hunters, we have guns in our family. And we had our son with gun safety and making sure that he learned how to properly, you know, and same thing. We would go to a range or something, and he would get excited, and he'd turn around with it. And I'm like, no. You have to point that gun somewhere else.
It was for kids, though. Yeah. It's a great deal for kids.
But
there's and I took my son, I think he was 14, for hunter safety courses.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful experience.
I honestly love seeing children out. I have my own. And seeing these memories being made, seeing their parents or, you know, family members work with them, seeing them get doves and the excitement on their face is really special.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Now, the safety courses that you offer, are you a teacher too?
So I am, as a wildlife manager, we go through almost every certification, including the hunter
Hunter safety course.
Instructor course. We have dedicated hunter safety instructors that put those courses on throughout the state.
You don't interfere with that.
I haven't done one in a long time, so I would refer to them.
But it's just excellent, and you know, we start talking about the excitement of the birds and everything. You lose your head. The more training, the better.
Absolutely, because
but then supervision.
The more training you get, it becomes muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And in that's what we as officers receive. We receive so much training that in a time of stress, certain things literally become muscle memory. And you kind of surprise yourself. You're like, wow, I just did a reload and I didn't even think about it. It just kind of, it happens because you build up that muscle memory. So as much manipulation as you can get with a shotgun, as much training as you can beforehand, especially with little ones, that goes a long way.
I can imagine. Is there anything, because I'm watching, you know, we're going to go to another break and then we're going to switch over to Richard Sprague. Is there anything that you want people to be very aware of before we go into the dove hunt on September 1st?
Just make sure that everyone's using common courtesy, being respectful of not only the other hunters, but the landowners, the areas they're hunting, making sure you're following all the laws, not shooting within a quarter mile of an occupied structure without the person's permission, the owner's permission, not shooting across roads or railways. Please don't litter. Make sure that shotgun's plugged. Make sure you leave one fully feather wing attached so that we can identify the birds as officers. And make sure you're fully licensed.
It's just that simple.
Yeah, be safe and have fun. That's all we want. We're out there to make sure we're not the bad guys. I promise.
I say no. I'm guessing a lot of you are hunters yourselves.
Oh, wait. You say you're not the bad guys, and I believe you. I really believe that. How many people see you and run? Has that ever happened?
Yes, but it's usually fishing contacts. You'd be surprised.
Fishermen?
Every time I've had someone run, it's been a fisherman.
They pick up their bass and go.
Huh? Or they leave it. They leave it and go.
They run from you.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times.
Wow.
Really?
That needs to make a YouTube video. I want to see a fisherman run. From the game guy.
That's just crazy to me. I mean, it's crazy to me to run from an officer anyway. So
that's not even a good move.
Yeah, it's just not. It's just
kind of gets them excited, you know, muscle memory and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say that just sounds like a bad idea.
It just leaves them. It's like, what? Okay, they're not running because they don't have a fishing license. There has to be something else going on.
Well, Wilmot, Sheriff Wilmot, one time mentioned to me that, you know, if you run, you're just gonna get arrested tired.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yep.
And for more than what you were originally in trouble for, probably.
I don't imagine it makes people happy.
I mean, I wouldn't be happy having to run after them.
I'm guessing.
I'm perfectly nice. There's no reason to.
I'm here to help you.
So again, if you see Yossi and she comes up, just be honest.
Yes, please. Honesty goes a long way. Trust me, for any officer. Once you start lying, that's when we start wondering, well, why are you lying? What are you hiding? Because dove, you know.
Can you tell?
Sometimes. There are cues that it's
in your training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can tell. People get nervous or, you know, you can also tell when somebody has done something wrong and they have absolutely no idea they've done something wrong.
Does it suck to be a kid of a police officer because you can't lie to your mom anymore?
I hope my little ones don't lie to me because it's just not nice when someone lies to you.
Yeah,
you know, in general, it's like
it's part of our society, unfortunately, that does exist.
Well,
except to moms. We never lie to moms at all. Of course, I ate the peas. You got to take a break.
Okay, well, we'll be right back with Richard Sprague is going to be joining us after the break. We'll be right back on Chamber Chatter on KBLU.
What do you get when you combine a round of golf with a strike or two, with the excitement of playing the slots? What do you get? All the fun under the sun. And that's what you'll find and more at Kokopau Casino and Resort, South Highway 95 in Somerton, kokopauresort.com. We're celebrating 30 years of winning at Kokopau. You can win up to $30,000 with our 30th anniversary cash bash. 3:30 to 9 o'clock every Friday and Saturday in August.
Once upon a time, air conditioning was simple. It blew cold air, or it didn't. Today, air conditioning is more than cooling. Healthy, conditioned air is essential. When people ask me who I trust, I tell them, in Yuma, the only thing you need to know about air conditioning is Hansberger Refrigeration. Find them at HansbergerRefridge.com. That's Hansberger, R-E-F-R-I-G.com.
Hansberger Refrigeration and Electric. Hansberger, count on us.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. We are in here playing with Lexi this morning, so the breaks are really short, apparently. So before we get back to the show, I do have a few announcements. The big announcement is tonight's mixer at AEA Federal Credit Union is completely sold out. And that is happening more and more with our events. The Chamber is growing. We had 10 new members this week alone. So with that, we are also growing in our events, which is a great problem to have, but it does mean our events are selling out. To give you an idea, last year's mixer at the Federal Credit Union at AEA was 156, and we are at 210 this year before we shut it off. So be sure that you're registering for our events early. Go on our website, yumachamber.org/events. We'll give you not only the Chamber's events, but the community calendar of events. It does have all the Dove Hunt events on there, just in case anybody's looking, as we're talking about Dove Hunt this morning. And so this morning, let's get back to the show. We, of course, have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ. And we have Lexi, who had one little bark in there.
One little bark?
The break, she had more. But
going after Richard like he was a burglar.
I know. Well, we've had Richard Sprague join us. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm like, Richard, you got Lexi all excited this morning. Maybe she wants to go dove hunting.
We've got a shop dog that goes to work. She's my German wire pointer.
Okay.
And every now and then she'll light up when somebody walks in.
She's with me all day and at the office, and she'll be fine. All of a sudden, somebody will come up that she just, but in here, she seems to be more protective.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why.
Maybe she's determined this is her territory.
Well, we're going to change that.
I have dachshunds at home, and it's funny because if I take them out, they're just fine. But if you come into my house, forget it because it's their territory, and they're going to defend it, even though they're teeny tiny little dachshunds that are nobody's ever afraid of. So, Richard, we were talking dove hunt. We had Yosie Heinken this morning a little bit ago talking about all the things to making sure that you're following the law so that she doesn't have to ticket you. But you have, to me, more the fun side. We get to talk about events and
I got to listen in on a little bit of the conversation earlier. Uh-huh. I didn't catch it all, but I think it's one thing I want to, high five Game and Fish for is the way they reduced the fees for youth. Hunters to get out there for $5, resident or non-resident. They can go out and take a full limit, and then they can fish too. So it's a combination for $5. It's a heck of a deal anywhere. Any of the kids from 10 to age 17.
Right.
And it makes it very affordable for people bringing family and friends from out of town as well. So,
Richard, how long have you been hunting?
Oh, my goodness.
Trick question this early in the morning.
60 plus years. Heck of a long time. Yeah. My earliest and fondest memories of doing stuff with my dad was, you know, basically dove hunting and then deer hunting and stuff like that.
So okay.
Forever and ever. In fact, I went out scouting today for the first time because I wanted to wait. Things change. Crops change.
Mm-hmm.
And weather changes. And, of course, we had some weather this weekend. So, you know, you just don't need to go out scout too early because things will change. And it looks like we've got, weather-wise, we're pretty good through the opener. It looks like it's going to cool down, actually. But I went out today. I always take a pair of binoculars. I recommend anybody looking for birds take binoculars because your eye can only see so far, mm-hmm. and they are pretty small.
And your eyes aren't any better, are they?
I was going to say, the older my eyes get, the less that they see the small things. So,
yeah. So take a good pair of binoculars. Anyway, this morning, it's what I love to do. You see that sunrise,
mm-hmm.
you smell the smells, you roll down your windows, you hear things you don't normally hear. The phone's not ringing off the hook yet, and I saw some birds. It was good. First morning. Lots of white wings is what I saw. I was encouraged. I was very encouraged.
Good, because we kind of talked about that a little bit. We're not sure what the impact the storm would be on the birds.
And I heard Josie say, Mike Sumner was brought up the other day. We have these planning meetings mm-hmm. starting in like May usually, and everybody's worried about the wind and everything like that. And the wind is not good for any of the, you know, the birds anyway. But like Mike said, some maybe blew out and some maybe blew in. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He's got a point there. And today it looked pretty encouraging. So
good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all right. But people do need to get out and scout. Things do change. All of a sudden there's a house there that wasn't there last year or some building, and you just got to make sure you do your homework.
How's the private property situation? I mean, everyone's always been very cooperative, but I'm sure there's places to
There is still, you know, some areas that are posted. There's, seems to me a little bit more, care with organic fields as well. So, yeah, definitely have to respect those. Look for the signs. If you think you can ask and find out who to ask for permission, that's a possibility as well sometimes. But it's still, compared to a lot of areas, pretty open and available.
You keep maps, right?
Well, everything's online these days.
It's online,
I mean, it really
okay.
is. We've got some maps, but it's starting to phase out of that. That printed paper is
okay.
less and less popular.
YumaDoveHunting.com.
That is a website that I'm extremely proud of. We have had a hand in that since day one. It's been a collaborative effort and generally managed by somebody tied to the Game and Fish Department. But it's an outstanding resource for everybody who's interested in anything concerning Yuma and dove hunting.
I refer to it regularly because as I was looking at for the events coming up to make sure that they were all in our events calendar. And so, in fact, it's on my phone right now so I could go find all the events. But there's a link to go buy your hunting license. There's a countdown in case you didn't know how quickly September 1st was coming. There's a countdown down to the 2nd.
That's
right.
Pretty cool. I love that.
Exactly. I love the countdown on it. So we know it's coming, but I learned more from this website.
Everything is on there. Game and Fish regulations. I know you talked to Yosi about it, but mm-hmm. it's basically just look it up. It's right there. It's super easy. You can even get your hunting license there. You can get your dove stamp there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your stamp, and I'm not sure if Yosi touched on it, but you can screenshot, save it to your phone, and you're good to go for the field.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it a lot easier because nobody goes anywhere without their phone anymore.
No. It's a really nice way to go, and it makes it easy for everybody. And this way, buying it online, the Game and Fish Department, they know immediately who's licensed and who's not. And the old printed, handwritten copies, sometimes you got one that was legible, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just a better... It's just a change for everybody, but it's coming around. It's working.
And Russ, when you're looking for your maps, there's actually a place that says where to hunt right in the menu, and you can pull up maps.
Yeah, I'm sure all the greatest hunters are all putting their best spots out there. You know,
well, I'm sure that is.
These are some general areas that Game and Fish Department has got some, working with the farmers in the area for for access and for habitat and stuff like that.
What about cleanup and all that? Are people still doing a good job? I mean, overall, hunters are good, but
they're getting better and better. And every year we host and participate in a dove hunter cleanup, usually the Saturday following the close of the first season, which there's two dove seasons in Yuma and in Arizona. And one's in November. The first one here is about 2 weeks. And so we'll have a cleanup effort. And every year it seems like they bring back less and less dove or hunter trash, let's say, and more just pure trash from the areas that they go to, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important. And even, in the old days, I'm talking a long time ago, everybody used to think, oh, shotgun shells, no big deal. Actually, it is a big deal, especially on private property. When people take pride in their property and are, growing crops and everything like that, keeping the roadways clear is important.
Well, and you don't want to lose the opportunity to use that private property, and you start leaving it in bad shape, you're gonna lose it.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And any of us as landowners, homeowners would feel the same way. So basically, just act like you're in somebody's backyard and mind your manners and leave it a little nicer than when you arrived. Yeah.
Right. So we were talking safety earlier, and I know that you do a lot of gun safety classes at your shop.
We do. We teach a variety of courses. We have a classroom that holds about 25. It's pretty comfortable right next to our range.
Mm-hmm.
And out in the field for the dove hunt, the main thing is eye protection and hearing protection. Those are the main things. You got to be really careful. And then, of course, know where your other hunters are.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your shots high, not, low shots. If you have to take a low shot, you better make sure you've got clear sailing for 400 or 500 yards, otherwise you just never know what could happen. And just be aware, and eye protection is super important.
Most people think of that though, don't they? Mm-hmm. I guess so.
They do. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, with the sun that we have, certainly a lot of guys are wearing sunglasses. Any of that stuff's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was going to say, I can't imagine going out without ear protection.
Yes.
I just can't even think about that.
There's a mixed bag with hearing protection because it does pay off to be able to hear what's going on around you.
Right.
And I mean, that can be as simple as a rattlesnake sound.
Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Stuff like that. So there are earplugs you can get and headsets you can wear that are electronic that can actually amplify but protect against the harsh noises.
Some of those headsets are awesome. I mean, I'm just shocked how...
And they have some that insert in your ear that, have similar attributes. Now, I'm not wanting to alarm anybody about rattlesnake. Honestly, they're out there, but you don't see them or hear about them too much. But just little things like the birds that are flying over. Maybe you got a hunter that just moved in to around the brush from you didn't realize was there. Just little things. So you want to protect your hearing, but you need to hear a little bit what's going on.
Right.
Got to find that balance. Some guys will just put one plug in one ear and leave the outside ear.
I don't need this ear. I don't need it.
I'm not an expert in recommending any of the above. I'm just saying I may know somebody that does that.
Works for them.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, I don't need this ear. Apparently,
it's the ear that's away from the
gun.
Loud
right,
report.
Yeah,
so your head shields a little bit of it, to be honest.
It does, I'm sure.
But I'm sure he's got a good ear and a bad ear. For now. Talking to my good
Those
ear.
Those in that business would be able to tell us for sure.
I'm sure. That's kind of funny. But I bet you do. I bet you do know all the latest gadgets because you get them in the shop.
We have a bunch of that stuff. We try to stay on top of it for sure. And it's pretty inexpensive all the way to a little bit more expensive. But definitely you got to go prepared.
I bet. So we talked about how long has your store been open now?
God.
This is our 67th year.
I knew it was getting
in the gun business, and then our truck accessory store, which is on the same piece of property, that's been going for 55 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard grew up right there on that property. Yeah.
I sure did. I really did. I mean, from age 7 on.
Okay. Yeah, age 7 on? I knew it.
There wasn't
around.
Much around 32nd Street and the big curve when I was growing up out there. We were there before, really any of the buildings around there. I've got old pictures. It's pretty cool to look at.
Used to be out of town.
We used to throw clay birds from the side of the shop, the first shop we built, and it's over there toward Lowe's direction. It used to be a Kmart there, and we could throw clay birds and just shoot right there. It was a blast. Mm-hmm. And even when Kmart built, we still kept throwing them a little bit, and they finally said, "You guys were getting shot raining down over here. We're going to have to quit."
That'd be a good reason.
That was a bummer
right there. Yeah.
Like we all grew
we
up
were
in
here
a different
first,
time.
Just learned to duck.
With that, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Hello, Yuma. This is Brad Moline, president of Allo Communications. We are installing our all-fiber network throughout your community. At Allo, we believe that businesses and homes deserve world-class internet, crystal-clear TV, and dependable phone services. With Allo, enjoy great customer service, no contracts, free installation, and real savings. At our core, Allo is committed to being honest, exceptional, local, and hassle-free. To find out more, visit us at allofiber.com/Yuma.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Chamber, and I have Russ Clark here with me.
Good morning.
And we have Richard Sprague this morning with Sprague Sports. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. And so we were talking about how long Sprague's has been around. Everybody I talk to talks about, I'm a newbie here in Yuma still. I've only been here 3 years, but I always hear people talk about Sprague Sports with a lot of memories. You guys have created a lot of memories for people here in Yuma.
All good memories?
All I'm hearing is good. No, so
my grandfather bought the property that we are on in the late 1920s and built a motel there.
Okay.
And that's where we got started. And so we've had a Sprague family business there since then, of one kind or another. So it's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So talk about the dove hunt a little bit. What are some of the events that...
Sure. There's a... again, all this is recapped on yumadovehunting.com. But Yuma Trap and Skeet will hold their preseason shoot this weekend on Sunday from about 7 in the morning until the crowds, thin out, probably early to mid-afternoon. And that's a great place to get, warmed up. It used to be a turkey shoot where they handed out frozen turkeys. And I think... too many of them melted on the way back to town. So they just went to a preseason shoot where you pay a few bucks to shoot, and then you shoot with four other guys, and whoever is the top shooter of that squad will get a $15 payout. So it's just a little fun.
Uh-huh.
Get ready with your favorite shotgun. They're also, remind everybody, Yuma Trap and Skeet is eight air ranges out on Highway 95. It's about 15 to 16 miles northeast of Yuma on Highway 95 on the way to YPG or Quartzsite.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find. You turn off there, that's well signed. It's just about a half to three-quarter mile past the Gila River, which is now a trickle compared to where it was. And you hang a left and go into eight air ranges, and Yuma Trap and Skeet Range would be the first range you come to on the right. They've got a real nice facility there. They do shoot out there every Saturday and Sunday year-round in the mornings. And then in the wintertime, probably I'm thinking November, maybe earlier, they'll start shooting Tuesdays and Wednesdays as well in the afternoons. So that's the first thing to know about. And then opening day will be here on the 1st. The 31st, we'll be busy at the store, probably the single busiest day of the year for us at Sprague's.
But you enjoy it.
We do. And, it used to be people came from out of town and to come and get their hunting license. Now it's all online.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't sure how that was going to affect us. It actually didn't change the level of, people coming to the store. They still came, good crowds. It's a family tradition. And we have our big breast contest, which is our version of a big deer contest with about the only thing you can weigh on a bird, which is their breast. And that's the edible part. That starts on September 1st and 2nd. It's a two-day event sponsored by Federal Ammunition, Benelli USA, and Busch Light.
Okay.
So it should be fun. It's no entry fee. It's free to and no pre-registration. And we give away a couple $1,000 worth of prizes that the sponsors put up for us. So that's pretty cool. That's on the 1st and the 2nd. It'll end at noon on the 2nd. And even a small bird can win because all entries, everybody who weighs a bird in, is entered into a drawing for a new Benelli Montefeltro shotgun, which is about a $1,300 value. So besides the $2,000 in prizes, we'll give away this shotgun at the end. And you know, it doesn't have to be a big bird to win that shotgun. So that is on the first and second. The second is going to be a really busy day. The besides our dove contest out at Dome Valley, they're going to host the Clint Curry Memorial Youth Dove Hunt. That'll be in the morning. Dome Valley turnoff is just past the Adair Range turnoff on Highway 95. You'll hang a right, and you just follow the pavement until you see a tractor on a pole. And that's, again, on YumaDoveHunting.com.
That's about You've been out there, Russ. You're laughing.
Yeah,
but
I have.
Exactly,
but it's just interesting when he says it. You know, like somebody from out of town says, what?
Yeah, yeah. It's unmistakable.
It is unmistakable.
It's 18E and County 6th Street. Again, sponsored by Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club. They'll typically have a decent field for everybody to shoot at. They keep it safe. There's generally some prizes that the kids will win or leave with. So that's pretty cool. And then later that day, on the 2nd, which is a Saturday, the Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club will host the 16th Annual Mike Mitchell Memorial Dove Hunt, Dove Hunters Barbecue at the Pivot Point Conference Center. Doors open at 4, dinner's about 6. And it's a typical fundraising banquet for the club. There'll be lots of guns and gear and associated artwork and variety of different prizes. They keep changing it up every year. It seems to get better and better. They'll have a good home-cooked Yuma barbecue-type meal there as well, and I would encourage everybody to check it out. Now, if that's not enough stuff to do on the 2nd, there's one more thing you can try to squeeze in. I'm not sure how you'll do it, but it's the downtown will be also downtown at the Prison Hill Brewery. Sponsored by Backcountry Hunters and Anglers will be the 4th annual Dove Cook-Off and Pint Night.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts at 7, and I would imagine that'll go till about 9 ballpark. So somehow you're going to have to juggle all that stuff on the 2nd.
That's a lot of stuff on the 2nd.
And on the 3rd, which is Sunday, the third day of the hunt, we find most of the California are out-of-town hunters because they do come from other states as well. In fact, the Yuma Airport will have a bunch of private planes in, generally. They'll start to be heading out of town. Used to be, it was a two-day limit. They would shoot 2 days and go home. Now it's a three-day limit, so we're finding that's a net positive effect on our local economy. People are hanging around a little bit longer. But on the 3rd, we'll be open. We're not normally open on a Sunday, but we'll be open from 10 to 4 at Sprague's. And the big deal for us that day will be the Yuma Catholic Annual Gun Raffle Early Bird Drawing.
Okay.
We give away 25 guns about 2 p.m. at our store in our classroom. Everybody's invited to come watch. And make sure if you've got any tickets for the gun raffle, which is a huge fundraiser for them. I think we've been doing it, I should know this, but around 20 years, 18 to 20 years. Anyway, get your tickets in. You can drop them off at Sprague.
I say, Richard, where can they buy tickets?
We have them at the store as well. And
I say, because we buy tickets every year. So.
I think you can buy them online at Yuma Catholic as well. Yuma Catholic High
School. Because that is a huge fundraiser.
It is. It's a real good one. They've got a handful of really strong fundraisers they do. And this is one that was the brainchild of Pat and Karen Cooley way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they've nursed it along, and it's just grown to be, I believe we've raised over $1 million for the school over the years.
I would say my son crosses his fingers every year because we always put his name on some of the tickets.
And one of the things we do
every year,
if you win something and you decide, you know what, that's cool, I won, I'd really rather get something different, we have that flexibility to allow you to do that. So it's good to support that program down there. And then after that, we feel like people start to get back to normal life and back to work. And we're probably going to take Labor Day off. But then the Dove Hunter cleanup will happen on the 16th of September. And that'll be at 6 a.m. in our parking lot at Sprague's. Game and Fish will be out there. It'll be all very well organized with maps and where to go, where they feel the need is to do some extra cleanup. They'll thank everybody to start with a breakfast burrito. They'll do trash bags, gloves, maps, water bottles. And then when you come back in, Republic Services has always been generous enough to have a container there for us to throw the trash away. And then we have some door prizes for those that participate.
Perfect. And is Cretines doing their dove?
They are.
I was going to say, are
that's
they
a great place to take your birds if you want to just drop them off and have them cleaned. And if you want them cooked up, they've got a few different ways they prepare them. They're open early for breakfast, I believe. And
that's right on the first, right? The very opening day?
I think for sure they'll be there the first and second.
Okay.
And it's usually the people that are doing the dove cleaning there. It's usually a little fundraiser for that whatever group it is.
Got it. Okay. So,
it's a nice setup.
Robbie
does a great job.
I would have no idea how to do that. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. It's just cooking.
I can cook.
Okay.
I can cook. I would have no
idea
how to clean up a
dove. It's nice to have somebody do the cooking and the cleaning all
the way
around. And if you throw them a few bucks and it benefits a nonprofit,
you can still drop them off at the mission, too, if you shoot more than you want to take home and you're like want to put them to a good use.
Yes, they are very receptive to that in the past. And also, in some fields, you can find – I was watching the field this morning, and it had a bunch of dove, but it also had a bunch of pigeons, like a lot of pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission will take pigeons as well, and they'll prepare them properly. They've got people that know how to cook these things up. They've even – if you take them in there fairly fresh, they'll clean them too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not be glad I'm saying this, but I've done it, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are generally happy and receptive
They've
to it.
They've told me the same.
I go places where squab is a delicacy, so it's pigeon.
So you've got Eurasians, which are a slightly larger bird, about 15% of my estimate. Dark ring on their neck. They're pretty unmistakable. They've got a real shrill call. It's different than a mourning dove or a white wing. And if you get in the right spot, you can really go through some ammo. And I know where you can
it's
get
a fun
more.
I was saying, do you know somewhere where they can buy more?
That's good.
Yeah.
Are there really – we don't have a lot of time left, but where again is Sprague's? I think everybody knows, but on the big curve.
Okay, we're on 32nd Street right next to Lowe's, just south of the big curve.
I was going to say, anybody that lives in Yuma, I mean, I think that's one of the first stores that I learned where it was. And we like to go in there to see the mounts and
the trophies.
The trophies.
There you go.
Exactly.
Every store, every privately owned store has got its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
And so we certainly have ours. And most find favor with it. Some don't. But that's okay. That's the way it goes.
Oh, we did. We came and, you know, because I came from the Phoenix area where we go to different places. And it was great to come to Sprague's and have, like, some place that we could take our son and go see the trophies and learn gun safety.
We do a class, if I may just throw a quick plug in on this one. It's called First Shots, and it's sanctioned and sponsored by our trade association, which is the National Shooting Sports Foundation. It's a 3-hour intro to safe gun handling. It's an outstanding foundational course, and it's relatively inexpensive. It's a 3-hour course. We teach it about once a month, but we'll also do private groups. If you've got some people you work with, maybe some social groups, we will do private groups, 10 or more. We just ask for at least 10, and we're happy to do that, and we can accommodate all kinds of schedules. During the day, at night, weekends, and stuff like that most of the time.
I think that's great because not everybody is as familiar. Oh, we've got 1 minute. Okay, well, with that, go to yumadovehunting.com.
Yes.
It has everything. Get your license. Go find out about all the events. Go see Richard at Sprague Sports on the Big Curve to get your ammo.
Yep, and ammo is actually a little cheaper this year than last
year,
which is kind of a nice direction to see things going.
All right. So thank you so much, Richard, for coming in this morning. I really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone for listening. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.